Now we're going to open the Word of God together, please, in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we want to read some verses from the verse number 13. Let's open our Bibles, please. That's 1 Peter chapter 1. And for those who are listening in on the World Wide Web, we want to welcome you once again to our service here. We pray that God will bless you wherever you are, and that God will indeed use His Word to a rich blessing to your soul. And you open your Bibles wherever you are as well. Follow us in the Word of God. And we pray that the Lord will indeed bless. There's also a table down there for CDs and DVDs. There's a new recording which you've just released, The Love of God. And we thank God for God's love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's read the Word of God now. First Peter, and the chapter is the chapter number 1, commencing to read at verse 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. And we know that God will add His blessing to the reading of His precious word. We're going to ask the Lord to undertake, as we just open the scriptures together, let's bow our heads in a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this evening. We thank Thee, O God, for the power of Thy word, and we ask of Thee that by the mighty power of Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt back it home to the hearts of everyone that's gathered in this tent tonight. We thank Thee that Thou art passing this way, and by Thy Spirit, O God, I pray that You'll stop at every seat tonight, and O God, that You'll draw men and women to saving faith in Jesus Christ, Thy lovely Son. Hear and answer our prayer. Glorify the name of Jesus, even in this service, through the preaching of the gospel of Christ. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for His glory. Amen. Night after night, friend, for the past 3 weeks, we have sought to earnestly deal with the great issues of life and of death. We have studied God's word, and I've sought faithfully to declare what God says in His word concerning our hearts in the state of nature, that we were born in sin and we were shapen in iniquity. Also, we have dealt not only with the sin of our hearts, but the salvation that is offered freely in Christ, and that how that Christ freely offers to men and women that eternal life, where man shall never perish, neither any shall pluck us out of his hand. We have dealt with the reality of death, the solemn subject where every one of us are facing. The last enemy, which the Bible says, which shall be destroyed, is death. And friend, you're closer to it, to meeting that last enemy, than you've ever been before. There's never been a moment in your life that you've been nearer Him, and the death angel has been closer to you than you are at this service right now. But you know, God in His precious word has taken us beyond that, because we have also looked at what comes after death. And you know, the word of God says it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, and men and women, let me tell you, it's not over. It's only beginning. You see, the wee while in this world's only for at its longest a few years, but eternity's forever. And it's not over for your soul or for you. And my friend, you need to realize tonight, the word of God says, after this, what comes after it? Well, it says, after this, the judgment. And then, you know, friends, what we have done also in these meetings, we've gone beyond that.
And God has pulled back the curtain, and God has given us a view into eternity for men and women when they leave this scene of time. For those that are saved, thank God they've gone to heaven. And those who are saved tonight, thank God we're going to heaven. And there's none will be able to pluck us out of our Savior's hand. And thank God we'll be there, Paul said. He'd be absent from the body, and he'd be present, hallelujah, with the Lord. He said, for me to live is Christ. He said, to die, it's gain. To be with Christ, he says, it's far better. Friend, let me tell you, that's what it is for the child of God. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven, and to bask on God's own light. But then the Word of God tells us something else. The curtain's pulled back, and we see what it is for a person to die in their sin, to die without the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, for you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, for you it's not over either. Because eternity, the eons of eternity will never come to an end. And eternity for you will only begin. Last night we were looking there of what that means for a lost soul. The Word of God says the rich man died and was buried. Now, he didn't die because of his riches. Neither was the next statement because of his riches. It says the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He didn't go to hell because of his riches. He went to hell because of Christ rejecting. Because that's all he lived for, was for the world and for his possessions, for his riches. But he left the Lord out of his life. And the Word of God says, and it's from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself, the one who said, I'm the truth. I'm the truth. And the truth tells you this, that in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he was there forever. My friend, what an awful end. What an awful end for men and women to live in this old world and then to close their eyes in death and step out into God's eternity and go to hell forever and be lost forever and forever. But I want us to think tonight of the wonderful salvation that God has provided for you and me through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. I want you to understand something tonight. Dear unsaved person, you don't need to go to hell. You don't need to be lost. You don't need to go to a Christless eternity. Thank God you can be saved. And there is a free offer of full salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You've got to put your faith and trust in him and in Christ alone. Thank God when you do that, you'll never perish. And thank God, but you have everlasting life. But friend, the question is this. On what basis does a righteous God forgive the sins of unrighteous men? How is it that God can take a sinner that is vile and unclean in the depths of sin? And how is it that God can take that sinner to heaven? How is it that they can get through the pearly gates? And by what power is our sin taken away? Because, my friend, the Word of God says that our sin separates between us and God. And therefore, for you to be brought nigh to God, your sin has got to be dealt with. And the question is, by what power is your sin taken away? Now, I want you to look at two verses in this passage of God's Word tonight, verses 18 and 19. Thank God we've got the answer. And I want to tell you there's power in these verses, friend. It says this, verse number 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, Peter is writing to persecuted Christians. These are believers, those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. But friend, let me tell you, whenever you're saved, that doesn't immune you from trouble or trials. Indeed, it talks about fiery trials that come upon the child of God. And so we find indeed that these people of God were going through fiery trials. And you know, it's so easy to get discouraged. But thank God, what Peter is doing is this. He's pointing to them what they have in Jesus Christ, what Christ has done for them, and what through Christ, the rich blessings that they have received, not only for time, but thank God for all eternity. Look in verse 18, it says this. For as much as ye know, here is a knowledge, something that you can know tonight. This is something that you cannot learn of the flesh, or this is not something that man can give you or learn of yourselves, but it is something that the Holy Spirit of God has placed in our hearts. It's this knowledge that our sins are forgiven. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And friend, let me tell you, when you're going through hard times, when you're going through dark days in your life, isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know that God has promised that all things will work together for good? Even that difficult situation, even those trials and troubles that you're facing, God has promised that they'll work it all together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Paul said this, in 2 Timothy, he says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 5, it says, hereby know we that we are in him. So it's a wonderful thing to have this knowledge that we are in him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. I ask you tonight, have you that knowledge? Have you that blessed experience that you're a child of God and that you have passed from death unto life? But you say, listen, I haven't gone through death, but listen, you were spiritually dead. You were dead in your trespasses and in your sin. And when a man comes to Christ, or a woman comes to Christ, or a boy or a girl comes to Christ, we can say this, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Thank God we have passed from death, spiritual death, and will never die, because we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But here's another knowledge, and this is what I want us to look at tonight. It says this, we know, or ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or as gold. And so this is so important. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. Now the word redeemed, to the Jews, whenever they were reading Peter's epistle, and the mention of redemption or being redeemed would bring them back in their minds to that great deliverance that there was, remember, when the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. In actual fact, you know, that's the first mention of redeemed in the Bible. It's found in the book of Exodus, chapter 6, and the verse number 6, and this is what it says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Thank God he's promised that he was going to redeem his people. He was going to redeem them out of Egypt. And so therefore it was God's response. The children of Israel cried unto God. They were in bondage. They were needing deliverance from the Egyptian slavery. And they cried out unto God, and God says, listen, I'll bring you out. God says, I will rid you of their bondage. And he says, I will redeem you. I will redeem you. Redemption. Redemption. And it says here, we know, or ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold. And yet, friend, redemption in the Old Testament was a term for money paid to buy back or to set free. For example, to set the prisoners of war free. They were purchased and there had to be a payment made, or to emancipate the slaves from their masters, there had to be the redemption price that was paid. Before redemption, they were slaves. That was true of the children of Israel. But thank God, friend, listen, there was a ransom paid. And the Lord Jesus, I'm going to redeem you. And what was the ransom price? He says, I'm going to redeem you with blood. I'm going to redeem you with blood. And that's what happened. And whenever I look back on my life, every child of God looks back on their lives. Friend, let me tell you, there was a time that we were slaves to Satan. We were slaves to sin. We followed the devil's way. And our old sinful nature led us down the road that was leading to hell. But thank God, we were redeemed. There was a costly price that was made. The infinitely precious blood of the Son of God. You see, as far as this redemption that Peter's talking about, silver and gold was not enough. All the exchequers of the world would never pay the ransom price for the deliverance of one precious soul from the grip or the power of Satan. Money couldn't buy the release of one soul. Let me tell you, money, people crave after it. And somebody said one time, it's nice to go shopping with. But let me tell you, there are things that money can't buy. I tell you this, my friend, money can buy a car. Money can buy a house. Money can buy your friends. But let me tell you, money can't buy everything. Money can't buy true love. Money can't buy salvation. Because the Bible says it's without money and it's without price. And so the Word of God says, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. The word there is perishable things. Perishable things, such as silver or gold. What does it mean about corruptible or perishable things? It means this, friend. It means the idea is that which is short-lived. In other words, that which has a brief significance. And I know that people think that the greatest thing to get is silver and gold. But I want to tell you, my friend, it's only for a brief, it's brief-lived, it's short-lived. It only has a brief significance. Indeed, the slave in Bible times could purchase their freedom if they had sufficient money to do so. Or indeed, the master would sell his slave to someone else if he paid the price and then could set that prisoner free. Let us never forget the slavery that we were in under sin. We were slaves to sin. And you know, Moses told the children of Israel, never forget that you once were slaves in Egypt. And I say to every child of God, friend, never forget this, that the Lord is the one that has saved you, but there was a time that you were bound in sin. There was a time that you were held in the bondage of sin. There was a time you were on your way to hell because of your sin. And it was only the grace of God that stopped you. It was the grace of God that saved you. And it's the grace of God that keeps you. And thank God, the grace of God will take you home and bring you finally home to heaven. You see, we need to remember that. You don't have to walk around with your nose stuck in the air to think that somehow you're saved, so you're better than anybody else. I tell you this, there's none of us better than any other. We're all the same. Whenever we're carried down the road, let me tell you, we'll all go on the same level. We'll all be carried out the same way. Rich or poor, it'll not matter tuppence, because it'll still be the same direction. As far as this old world is concerned, we're carried out the same way. And so therefore, my friend, it says, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver or gold. And then it says this, from your vain conversation. What does the word vain conversation mean? Well, of course, word conversation, people think that means their language, their talk. No, it means much more. It means your manner of living. In other words, in the past, they had lived empty lives. Do you remember what in the book of Ecclesiastes the preacher said this? Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. And the word there means emptiness of emptiness. All is empty. And the man who said that, let me tell you this, he talked about his houses, he talked about his gardens, he talked about his lands, he talked about all that he possessed. He had everything that money could buy, and yet he cried out, emptiness of emptiness. All is empty. What a tragedy, friend, to live pointless lives, to live useless lives, to live fruitless lives, to live meaningless lives because of our sin. I ask you this, my friend, if your life was to end this night, tell me, what has it been all about? What has your life been all about? Didn't James ask that question? The Holy Ghost asked it there in the book of James. What is your life? What is your life? What have you been living for? If you're to sum up your living, friend, what was the meaning of your life? What was the meaning of your existence in this old world? The Bible says here, the vain conversation, empty living. They were living empty. Ah, yes, their lives full of things. But friend, to be honest, they were living on substitutes. They're living on substitutes. By all the while, they thought their lives was full. They thought their lives were happy. But in reality, they were empty. In the light of God's eternity, they were miserable. They were miserable. But then it goes on to say this. Thank God, Peter reminds them of what Christ has done for them. You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. But he says this. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He reminds them that the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood to redeem us out of the slavery of sin and to set us gloriously and wonderfully free. The word of God says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No amount of money can set a sinner free. Then I'll tell you this, you'll not buy your way into heaven. You may influence people with what you own and what you have down here, but as far as your soul is concerned, Jesus said, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world and you lost your own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for a soul? Silver and gold will never buy your precious soul's salvation, friend. But thank God there is something that did. And the word of God says this, ye were redeemed. You were purchased. You were bought with a price. What was the price that had to be paid for your deliverance from sin and your deliverance from slavery? Thank God it's the precious blood of Jesus. You know, the world looks on silver and gold as precious. But I tell you this, the word of God reminds us its value is short-lived. Let me give you an example. Here's a man and he's lived all his life to grab and grab and grab and grab. And friend, let me tell you, he'd hardly spend a penny because he's just, all he was wanting to do was just get more and more and more and more. And then he closes his eyes in death. Tell you what you do. You wave £100 note at the side of his coffin, friend, and see whether he smiles when you do it. You see whether he reaches out his hand to take it. You see, that's all he lived for. And yet there comes a moment that when you hold that £100 note over the man's face, I can tell you this, he never blink. Neither will he reach out his hand for it. Why? Because the silver and gold and the value, it's short-lived. It's only for a wee while. And if that's what you're building your life on, friend, if that's all that you're living your life for, I'm going to tell you this, you're going to leave it. You're going to leave it all behind and you're going to be taken out into God's eternity and your life will be meaningless. I've lived an empty, meaningless life and a lost soul and to go out into God's eternity. You see, silver and gold is precious as far as man's concerned. But there's something that God says is precious. It's the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood. That word precious means that which is valuable. It means that which is highly prized, that which is desirable, that which is costly. And the Word of God says we are redeemed. We are bought back from the slave market of our sin by the precious blood of Christ. His blood is precious. That speaks about the infinite worth of the precious blood, because, friend, let me tell you, its value is beyond calculation. We haven't time to go into the precious things in the Word of God tonight. You know, the Bible tells us that life's precious. Life's precious. And so it is. I remember when I was a young student in Belfast, I had gone just to Belfast and was in the college, and a young girl that I knew went to Donaghy Congregational Church, where I would train the CE choir at that time. And whenever I went there, I heard that she was ill. And whenever they sent the word, there's a young woman that I knew very well, but she was not saved. She didn't know the Lord. And I went to see her in the hospital, and I talked to her in the Royal Victoria Hospital. They said she had to have an operation. She had a tumor in the brain. I sat with her and I talked to her about the things of God, and I begged her. I begged her to give her heart and her life to Jesus Christ. The next morning she was going for the operation. I went to college early that morning, but before I went to college, I went to the hospital to see her. When I went into the hospital to see her, this side of her head was all shaved. She was ready for the operation in the theater. I prayed with her and I spoke to her once again, and then she said to me, before I went, she says, William, I have something to tell you. She said, after you left yesterday, she said, I thought about your earnest pleading for me to get right with God. And she said, you know what I did after you left? I just pulled the clothes over my head and I cried on God to save me. And she said, I'm saved. And I know no matter what happens, I know that all's well. She went to the theater that day. I went back to the hospital after the college to see her. She was lying in the intensive care unit. Ice was stacked around her. She was critically ill. Remember standing at the bottom of her bed that night. Remember her father sitting there as well. Remember the words he said to me, William, see how she fights. See how she's fighting for life. You see, life's precious. And she was fighting for life, friend. And then, in the early hours of the morning, she lost the battle. And she went out into God's eternity. But thank God. Thank God the day before she could see. I didn't know I was making my last appeal to her. Friend, I don't know, but I could be making my last appeal to you tonight without Jesus Christ. But thank God she could write with God. You see, life's precious. That's what the Word of God says. The Bible tells us also that His thoughts, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. The thoughts of God's precious to the child of God. The Bible says that those that go forth bearing precious seed, the seed of the gospel, they're bearing precious seed. Yes, the seed, the glorious gospel seed, is precious seed, friend, that God has given us to carry. And then the Word of God says something else. It says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And to God himself, friend, the death of a child of God is a precious thing. It's a precious moment. When a child of God closes their eyes for the last time and they take that last little breath and they're gone from the seat of time, God says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of sins. But then it tells us something else in Psalm 49. It says, the redemption of their soul is precious. The redemption of their soul is precious. And that's what's being talked about here in this verse. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but your redemption of your soul, it was with the precious blood of Christ. You study 1 and 2 Peter and you'll find the precious is mentioned a number of times. Peter talks about the trial of your faith. And it says it's more precious than of gold. Maybe you don't think the trial of your faith is very precious, friend. But in the sight of God, it is. It's a very valuable thing. I tell you this, if your faith can't be tested, it can't be trusted. And if you're resting on something, friend, that doesn't stand the test of trials and troubles, then I tell you, you better lift your eyes and get back to the Lord. The trial of your faith, Peter says, is precious. Then he goes on to talk about the precious stone, about the living stone and the stumbling stone and the chief cornerstone. And it's, what is that speaking of? It's speaking about Christ. Unto them that believe, he is precious. Precious Jesus. Peter talks about precious Savior. And then he talks about precious faith. And of course, faith is precious because of the precious person that we have faith in. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he talks about precious promises. We sing the hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. And Fred, let me tell you, whenever you're going through difficult times and trials and maybe everything seems to be just going away, isn't it good to have a promise from God to hold on to? Those precious promises. Thank God, those promises of God, they cannot fail. Those are all precious things. But here it says, you are not redeemed with anything else. Silver and gold doesn't come into the reckoning. Silver and gold doesn't matter because it's of little value. But what is to be prized? What is to be valued? It's the precious blood of Christ. A word precious, to honor. To give honor to. And really, let me tell you this. All my hope and all my peace and all my joy for all eternity is bound up in the pardoning, forgiving, cleansing, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, precious is that flow. It makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. But why is the blood of Jesus precious, friend? Why is the blood of Christ so precious to the child of God? Well, when you study God's word, you'll find the priority of the blood. The priority of the blood. I remember Dr. Paisley's father, old Pastor Paisley. The night in 1967 in Ballymena Church in the wee pulpit where I was interviewed by press, some of the members of Presbytery. And I remember old Pastor Paisley, when I was stepping out of the pulpit, old Pastor Paisley stopped me and he caught me by the hand and he looked me in the eyes and he said these words to me. He says, young man, listen to me. Make much of the blood. Make much of the blood. And I can tell you this, my friend. The world may laugh at the preaching of the blood of Christ, but I can tell you this, as far as God's word is concerned, and as far as God's concerned, there is the priority of the blood, because there is no redemption without the shedding of blood. There is no forgiveness. There is no pardon for sin, and there's no heaven without the blood of Christ being applied. You see, through the blood, we have pardon of sin. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's a famous preacher you know that lived in England. His name was Dr. Berry. He was a famous British preacher. It's told about us that, or told about him, one Sabbath morning he was invited. A young woman came to him as Dr. Berry was about to go into the pulpit. And she begged Dr. Berry to come to one of the back streets of that city to get her mother into the kingdom of God. Dr. Berry was a scholarly preacher. Sad to say, he wasn't a gospel preacher. But this young girl, she was begging the preacher to come and speak to her mother, as she said, get her in. That scholarly preacher made his way and went to the bedside of a dying woman as she was about to go into God's eternity. And as he sat there beside her bedside, he thought of some of the scholarly sermons that he preached, some of the lectures he gave, that people sat in awe of him, because Dr. Berry was known as an orator. And so he started to talk to her about some of those most acclaimed and learned sermons that he had. And the dying woman looked at Dr. Berry and she says, "No, not that, sir. Get me in. Get me in." He sat there, and then in a moment he remembered what he learned from a mother's knee. He remembered the old story of the cross, of how Jesus died for sinners and shed his precious blood to take away man's sin. You know, as his mind went back and thought about the story of the cross that he heard as a child, he sat beside that poor dying woman and he told her about God's love for sinners and how that God so loved her that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, which included her, that believed in Christ would never perish but have everlasting life. And the smile came across the dying woman's face. She says, "That's better. How God sent his Son into the world to save and to seek that which is lost. And because of his death on behalf of sinners, the men and women would never go to hell, but could be gloriously, wonderfully saved." And as he told her the story of the cross, as he told her about the blood that Jesus shed, she looked into his face. She said, "Preacher, that's it. That's it. His blood. His blood can make me clean." Dr. Berry said this after that instant. He said, "You know, by God's grace, she got in that day." And he said something else. "And I got in too." But that day, beside a dying woman's bed, Dr. Berry cast aside all his scholarly teachings and knowledge and all his oratory, and he came as a sinner to Jesus. Then I tell you, I want to tell you before God, thank God, there is pardon from sin in the precious blood of Christ. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. The Lord was going to deliver them, as he said, he was going to redeem them with a mighty strong arm. The Lord told the children of Israel through God's servant Moses that they were to kill a lamb. They were to separate that lamb from the rest of the flock. It was to be a spotless lamb, no blemish on it. And then, after it had been separated for those days, to know that it was a separate, spotless lamb, then they were to kill it. And then they were to do something else. They were to put the blood in a basin. And then they were to take the hyssop. And they were going to take the blood. And with the hyssop they were to apply the blood on the doorpost and on the door lintel. Not on the doorstep. Because you can't trample under the blood of Christ and prosper. And friends, let me tell you, that's what they did. And the evidence of the sacrifice was placed on the door. And the door was closed. And the children of Israel sat there in those homes under the blood because a death angel was passing through. And God says, "When I see the blood, as a death angel passes through the land," he says this, "when I see the blood, I'll stand guard over you." And the death angel couldn't enter that little home that night. Maybe it was a little hovel, but they were safe under the blood. And the death angel couldn't pass and enter into that home for him. But listen, the death angel, every home where the blood wasn't applied, the death angel entered. You see, listen, it wasn't enough for the blood to be shed. It wasn't enough for them to kill the lamb or put the blood in a basin. But the blood had to be applied. And friend, let me tell you, maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Ah, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary." Do you believe he died for you? Has the blood been applied to your soul, friend? Have you come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you acknowledged that you're a lost, ill-deserving, hell-deserving sinner? And by faith received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or is all that you've got's head knowledge? No hard experience of Christ's forgiveness and Christ's pardon. But thank God, those that were under the blood, they were safe, covered by the blood. Thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ forgives. The word there to forgive our sin, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this: "And the blood of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood." In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And the word forgiveness there means to carry away. Christ died to carry away your sin, never to be seen again. Thank God. That's the power of the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ pardons our sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Hebrews 10 verse 17. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." He blots them out. He forgives them. He pardons all of our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us. All sin. Have you looked to the Lamb of God, friend? Because he alone cleanses from sin. Yes, the blood pardons from sin. Secondly, through the blood we have peace for our souls. In the book of Colossians, in the chapter number 1, it says this in the verse number 20. It says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross." Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Have you peace tonight in your soul? Do you know that all's well? Have you the peace of God in your soul tonight? Have you the knowledge that your sins, which have separated between you and God, that God has removed them? Have you been reconciled to God through the blood of his cross? You who once were afar off, Ephesians 2 verse 13 says, are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know that we're reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:20, "We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." You see, once you're an enemy of God. Once your heart was at enmity with God. Once your sin separated between you and God, but thank God, Jesus Christ through his blood has made peace. Thank God, through Christ we're reconciled through the blood of his cross. Christ died for sinners. He shed his blood to take away your sin, friend. And there on the cross of Calvary, let me tell you, he cried, "It's finished. The work's done. Hallelujah, it's done. We don't need to add anything to it. We dare not take anything from it." Saved through the blood that Jesus shed, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You see, friend, not only did God provide a way that peace could be made, But Christ is our peace. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question today. Is it well with your soul? You climb the stairs tonight or go down to the bedroom tonight and you place your head on the pillow and you know not what this night is going to bring forth, friend, because the word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let me ask you this. Are you right with God? Do you know? Have you that blessed assurance that within your soul, friend, that you have been reconciled to God through the blood of the Savior's cross? You that once were far off, away from God, away in your sin, we are back to God and your face to the world. But thank God in grace, and through the blood of Christ, you've been brought nigh, reconciled. Thank God, peace with God. Peace with God. When peace like a river attendeth my way, though sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It's well with my soul. You see, friend, let me tell you this. You see, being reconciled to God through the blood of the cross, you see, being born again of the Spirit of God, you see, being washed in the Savior's blood and your sins forgiven, it'll not take you 1 second before your time. But thank God, when your time comes, all you have to do is go. For the old account's settled. And not only have you peace with God through the blood of his cross, but then there's something that's witnessed within, friend. It's called the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Have you the peace of God tonight? Come on, friend. You're a traveler like me to God's eternity. In some of these moments, the place that knows us now will know us no more forever. Have you been to Jesus? I didn't ask you, have you been to church? I didn't ask you, have you been to the preacher? I haven't asked you, have you been to the sacraments? Sacramental table. I haven't asked you, have you been to the baptismal font or the baptismal tank? I've asked you a straightforward question. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because it's through the blood, and only through the blood, that not only have we pardon for our sin, but thank God we have peace for our souls. And there's something else. We have power over Satan. Revelation chapter 12. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame the old accuser, the old serpent, the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. For there's power in the blood, hallelujah. There's power in the blood to save. There's power in the blood to sanctify. There's power in the blood to eternally secure. What though the accuser roar of things that I have done? He speaks of them and millions more. But Jehovah seeth none. Thank God they're under the blood. Blessed is a man whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And the old evil one seeks to attack the child of God. He's called in the scriptures the accuser. The accuser of the brethren. The old adversary, the devil. I remember one of the missions I held down in Stony Park in Macrofelt. Intent like this. Remember, I preached a sermon. And remembered, here was the outline. Who the devil he is, what the devil he's doing, and where the devil he's going. John Palmer was taping those messages and that mission. Whenever it came, friend, and that tape, and more people were asking for it because it was an exposure of the power of Satan and the power of hell, and how that he could be defeated, and how the devil is defeated through the blood of Jesus. Whenever they put the tape on, there wasn't that on it. Not a thing. The singing was on, the reading of the scripture was on, and when it came to the preaching of God's word, wiped clean. Wiped clean. No, the devil's not to be played with. And he's not a game. He's your adversary. And he's one design for you, sinner. And his design is to take you to hell. And when you get there, he laughs at what a fool you've been to follow him. You remember Judas Iscariot? He betrayed Jesus Christ, the lovely Son of God, and he cried this. He threw the 30 pieces down of silver that he sold his Savior for. And whenever he went to the elders and the chief priests, and he cried, and this is what he said. He says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. What did the chief priest say to him? What's that to us? What's that to us? They laughed at him. And Judas went out and hanged himself. And Judas Iscariot went to hell. I don't play games. And I want to tell you this tonight. They overcame him. That is the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. There's power in the blood. To defeat the old accuser. Do you know why? Don't be discouraged, child of God. Your adversary, the devil, is going about seeking to devour you. But listen to me. You have a great enemy. You have a great adversary. Recognize him. But listen, if you're a child of God, you have a great advocate. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And praise God, the devil thought he took on Christ at the cross. But praise God, he was a defeated foe. The Savior crushed his head. And no matter how difficult the journey, and no matter how dark the journey might be, glory to God, there's victory. Victory in Jesus. Your victory secure. For they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And then thank God we have perfection after the sojourn. In heaven there was a great multitude. No man could number. They washed the robes. Listen, they said, what are these that are red and white robes? And whence came they? And they answered, sir, thou knowest. These are they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white. Listen, in the blood of the Lamb. Blood of the Lamb! Hallelujah! There's perfection after the journey. And then it says they rest from their labors. Eternally safe. Eternally secure. Well, friends, let me tell you, time's well gone. And not even half through. The priority of the blood, the purity of the blood, as a lamb without spot, the sinless, spotless, undefiled, unblemished, stainless Son of God. That's who our Savior is. He didn't die for his sins, for he had none. He didn't die for his crimes, for he had none. But thank God he bare my sin. He who you know sin, bare my sin in his own body on the tree. And then Revelation talks about the praising of the blood. Because in heaven, do you know what they sing? Unto him who has washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him be the glory forever. Amen. Queen Victoria, when she was the Queen of England, she was wont to visit some humble and poor families on occasions where she was on her holidays. And on one occasion she went to a lonely cottage. It was just out on its own. And she wanted to visit there. In that cottage was just one old lady. Queen Victoria went into that cottage, and after some time she asked the elderly lady, she said, "Is there anything that I can do for you?" The old lady said to the Queen, "I have everything I want, thank you, Your Majesty." But the Queen, not a bit put off, said, But I want to do something for you." And the old lady said again, "I have all I need. But if Your Majesty would promise me one thing, I would be very glad." Queen Victoria looked at the old lady and said, "I shall do that if I can." And then the old lady turned to the Queen and said this, "Oh, Your Majesty, if you would just promise me to meet me in heaven, that's all I want." And this is the reply of Queen Victoria: "I shall do that in virtue of the blood of the Jesus Christ." And that's it. And friends, let me tell you, those that are in heaven are going to meet there the same way, and because of the same thing, by the virtue and the victory and the value of the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. For there's power. Sin-defeating power. Devil-defeating power. Sin-cleansing power. In the blood of the Lamb. And through.
What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Listen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Have you been to the blood? Is your sin forgiven tonight? Are you sure? Are you sure of heaven? Friend, don't walk away from Christ. He says, I shed my blood for you to take you to heaven. Don't reject him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word tonight. Thy word is truth. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will write this word upon the hearts of everyone. Oh, may we experience the victory of the blood tonight for poor lost sinners, that they might plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And sing one little verse of that hymn, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. Will you come, friend? Will you come to Jesus? Or will you walk over the precious blood of Jesus Christ and say, I'll not take him. I'll take my sin and I'll go to hell. What a fool. What a fool. Come to Christ as we sing this little verse of this. There's bowed and eyes closed, and if there's a sinner or a backslider who's wandered away from the Lord and you want to come back. Friend, as we sing this little verse, one verse only, thank you for your patience tonight. You say, preacher, lead me to Christ. Would you just lift that hand above your head that I'll see it? As we sing the verse. And come to Christ. Get under the blood, just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea. There's a one tonight in this meeting. Friend, I beg you in God's name, don't turn away from Jesus. He's nearby tonight. He's passing this way. Would you lift that hand right now, indicate that desire, preacher, point me to Christ, that I might know that pardon through the blood, that peace through the blood, that power through the blood. It's the one before we close. And I beg you in God's name, don't go away without Christ. You're in danger. Walk in a very dangerous road. Oh God. Oh God, stop the sinner by faith at the cross, that they might claim the blood of Jesus to cover their sin. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're here to help you. Please don't go away. would gladly open the Word of God. Brother McKee, myself, will gladly